This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I'll be reading synopses of articles on hydrocephalus, oncology, and surgical technique, published December 7th, 2012. Cranial reduction and fixation with a resorbable plate combined with cerebrospinal fluid shunting for difficult-to-manage macrocephaly related to hydrocephalus. A case report by Jotam Manwaring and colleagues. It is difficult to manage newborns with macrocephaly related to hydrocephalus. Within a few days of life, a ventriculoperitoneal shunt is placed, but this can lead to overlapping sutures and a distorted head shape. Parents and staff are uncomfortable with the infant's appearance, and there is often difficulty positioning the child in the bassinet and car seat. With time, secondary synostosis leads to permanent deformity. Treating the hydrocephalus can improve the infant's developmental outcome, but the resulting skull deformity impedes care, hinders social acceptance, and sets the patient up for corrective surgery. Delayed cranial reduction is fraught with morbidity and provides only fair outcomes. The authors present a new technique that is helpful in the care of a child with severe macrocephaly related to hydrocephalus. They report on a case in which they used that technique. In a one-hour procedure, they performed a limited cranial reduction and fixation during the infant's first weeks of life. In the case reported in this article, they were able to achieve an immediate 49% reduction in the infant's intracranial volume. Fixation of the bones with resorbable plates creates a fixed skull shape, allowing for better care of the patient by staff and parents, and avoids the need for delaying remodeling surgery. In the case reported in this article, the hydrocephalus has been easily managed with a programmable shunt, and the patient, a toddler at the most recent follow-up, has a good cosmetic outcome, as demonstrated by a photograph taken when he was 14 months of age and is included in the article. Addressing the siphoning effect in new shunt designs by decoupling the activation pressure and the pressure gradient across the valve. A technical note by Tobias Matei and co-authors. Although several improvements have been observed in the latest years in shunt technology, current available systems still present several associated problems. Among these, overdrainage and its complications remain one of the greatest challenges for new shunt designs. In order to address the so-called siphoning effect, the authors developed a new shunt prototype called the paddle wheel valve, in which, according to the proposed design, the flow would depend only on the intracranial pressure and not on the pressure gradient across the valve. The authors used computer models to theoretically evaluate the hydrodynamic variables involved in the operation of the newly designed shunt, such as the fluid's Reynolds number, the proximal pressure, the distal pressure, the pressure gradient, and the expected and actual flow rate. After fabrication of the first superscaled model, the authors performed benchmark tests in order to analyze the performance of the new shunt prototype. The data obtained were then compared with the results predicted by previous mathematical models. The final results demonstrated that the new shunt prototype, with a three-key component anti-siphoning system, is capable of decoupling the activation pressure and the pressure gradient across the valve, successfully avoiding the siphoning effect. design and benchmark testing of a bicorporeal pump for the treatment of normal pressure hydrocephalus and idiopathic intracranial hypertension. A laboratory investigation by Tobias Matei and co-workers. Successfully addressing overdrainage is still one of the greatest challenges for future shunt designs, especially in the scenario of normal pressure hydrocephalus and idiopathic intracranial hypertension. As evidenced by TAP test procedures, a small amount of cerebrospinal fluid drainage may be enough to provide significant relief of symptoms in most patients, and, therefore, in contrast to other types of hydrocephalus, continuous cerebrospinal fluid drainage may not be absolutely warranted. In such a clinical scenario, intermittent controlled drainage of small amounts of cerebrospinal fluid during specific periods of the day may provide several advantages over continuous drainage. Based on such concepts, the authors designed a new shunt system for intermittent drainage through a bicorporeal pump. The first component was designed to be implanted in the patient, while the second component was designed to be used as an external device that would function both as a power supply and a control system. Ultimately, flow would only occur when the system was powered by the external device. The initial benchmark tests confirmed the feasibility of such innovative design. They provided further support for future testing of this new shunt prototype in vivo animal models and in future clinical studies. Seizure outcome of surgical treatment of focal epilepsy associated with low-grade tumors in children. A clinical article by Mikol Babini and colleagues. Low-grade tumors are an increasingly recognized cause of focal epilepsy, particularly in children and young adults. The optimal surgical treatment in pediatric patients has not been fully established. In the present study, the authors retrospectively analyzed 30 cases involving children who underwent surgery for histopathologically confirmed low-grade tumors, for which seizures were the only clinical manifestations. The patients were divided into two groups according to the type of surgical treatment: a simple lesionectomy or removal of the tumor and the adjacent epileptogenic zone. 100% of the patients who underwent a tailored resection had temporomesial tumors and were all seizure-free after surgery. Only 80% of those who underwent a simple lesionectomy achieved seizure freedom after surgery. In this series, a younger age at seizure onset, particularly younger than 4 years, was predictive of a poor seizure outcome. The author's results demonstrate that the anatomical location of these tumors is an important factor to be considered in choosing the optimal surgical strategy. Lesionectomy may be sufficient for optimal seizure outcome in temporolateral and extratemporal epilepsy-associated low-grade tumors. On the contrary, to achieve seizure freedom in temporomesial tumors associated with epilepsy, a tailored resection is necessary. Hydrodynamic properties of the Certus hydrocephalus shunt. A laboratory investigation by Zofia Choznika and co-authors. Independent testing of hydrocephalus shunts provides information about the quality of cerebrospinal fluid drainage. Moreover, hydrodynamic parameters of a valve assessed in the laboratory create a comparative pattern for testing of shunt performance after implantation. The authors assessed the hydrodynamic parameters of a new model of hydrocephalus shunt, the Certus hydrocephalus valve, produced by Codman Johnson and Johnson. The manufacturer specifies that the Certus is a differential pressure ball-on-spring valve. It can be adjusted in vivo magnetically in 7 steps equally distributed within the therapeutic limit for hydrocephalus, and the 8th step at high pressures intended to block cerebrospinal fluid drainage. A magnetically adjustable rotor is designed to prevent accidental readjustment of the valve in a magnetic field, including clinical magnetic resonance imaging. The pressure flow performance curves, as well as the operating, opening, and closing pressures, were stable, fell within the specified limits, and changed according to the intended performance levels, ranging equally from levels 1 to 7, from 1 to 20 millimeters of mercury. The valve at lower settings has low hydrodynamic resistance of 1.4 millimeters of mercury per milliliter per minute, increasing to 5.1 after connection of a standard distal drain. Performance level 8 is intended to block flow through the shunt. At level 8, operating pressure is greater than 32 millimeters of mercury, and hydrodynamic resistance is greater than 20 millimeters of mercury per milliliter per minute. External adjustment of the Certas valve has proved to be easy and reliable. The valve is safe in 3 Tesla magnetic resonance imaging, and the performance level of the valve is unlikely to be changed. However, distortion of the image is substantial on MRI. Integration of the valve with the siphon guard system strongly limits the drainage rate. In conclusion, in the laboratory, the Certas valve appears to be a reliable differential pressure adjustable valve. The authors state that laboratory evaluation should be supplemented in the future by results of a clinical audit of data. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter, and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group.